So good morning. My name is Marta, and my pronouns are she, her, hers. And I am not a member of the queer community, but I try really hard to be an ally. I am passionate about queer inclusion, especially in Christian churches. I am passionate because this group has been historically marginalized from the faith community. And there are many groups that have been marginalized from the faith community, but this particular group of people has been explicit exclusions. As we know, the fight for equality in the LGBTQI plus community, and I know that there are more letters, is not over. Right now, our trans siblings are under attack. Their rights are under attack. On July 1st, 2023, a law in Nashville, Tennessee, will take away the freedom of families of transgender youth to seek critical health care. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee signed into the law a ban on all forms of gender-affirming care for transgender people under 18. This is putting the government in charge of making vital decisions traditionally given to their parents. This is one of many examples I could cite. God of compassion. This ministry we are in all together requires us to hold onto community like our life depends on it. So take hold, people. This is a wild ride, and we have each other, and we have our covenant, and we have the love of God that binds us. So I try to be a really good ally. And sometimes I succeed, and sometimes I don't. So that's the thing about being an ally. The affiliation of an ally is not self-identified, but rather an honor requested and invited by marginalized communities. I find that being an ally is best practiced and modeled rather than intellectualized or assumed. I am a straight woman trying my best to celebrate pride. But sometimes, and I'm not kidding, I use this word and my kids do too, when I am more extra, or shall I say extravagant, as my kids would say, "Mom, you are so extra," they will respond, and let me try to do it in the way that they do it to me. "Mom." In a slightly endearing and mildly patronizing way. They feel sorry for me because they are a little embarrassed by my expression of celebration for the queer community. One of them says, "You're too woke as a middle-aged white straight woman." But being too woke as a middle-aged straight woman is actually a badge of honor, especially when two of my children. Especially when two of my children are queer. I love them so much, and I want the world to know I love them so much just as they are. This week, I talked with my good friend, we'll call her Allison. We had not talked for 6 months. It is unusual for us to go that long without talking. Allison is a doctor and a parent and a brilliant human in the Army. She lives in, we'll say, Kentucky. Allison has a child who lives in Oklahoma. And we had not talked for 6 months because I was moving and starting a new job. And she has been in a cave of despair. Allison is a trans woman, a beautiful, strong, smart as a whip trans woman. I love her so much. Her child has called her dad from the time that they were a baby. And Allison is fine with that. But recently, Allison, who is out to the world as a woman, has feared for her life. In public, when Allison is at the pool in her bathing suit, her son will yell, "Hey, Dad!" And all of a sudden, this is not safe because the bathing suit is a bikini. Allison is working with her child to develop a safe word for her child. Allison has to hide a piece of her identity for fear of her life. Allison has to explain to her child that her God-given existence scares the world. God of compassion. For Allison, visibility can be unsafe. For other members of the queer community, visible can be life-saving. Recently, a gay colleague decked out in rainbow hair and a t-shirt said, "Visibility is everything." For them, being a visible gay person is a form of radical hospitality, meaning it shows the world that they are safe when we are with them and that we are all beloved children of God. So as a church body, we are invited to hold space. We are invited to hold space for the passionate allies. It's hard to hold space for that. We are here to hold space for the frightened. We are also here to hold space for the ones that want to shout from the mountaintops and for the ones that are most comfortable in their caves. This is a lot for one community and oozes messiness, uncertainty, and conflict, sometimes painful conversations. But if we cannot have the courage in the church, then where can we engage in this messiness? We are invited as a collective to hold on for dear life and for the love of God, for the love of pride, and for the love of the queer community into the scary, wonderful, messy, grace-filled place for all. Colby Martin put out a book a few years ago, and it's called Unclobber, Rethinking Our Misuse of the Bible on Homosexuality. And I'm going to read from page 156. We heard this clobber passage this morning. There are seven biblical texts that the queer community has been metaphorically clobbered over the head with for a very long time. And I hear the phrase clobber passage until the past few years to describe how large group of Christians interpret these texts, violently shoving the queer community to the margins of Christianity. And so some of you know I grew up in the church, but did not grow up with biblical literacy. So you can imagine my surprise in 1996 when I sat at my college campus cafeteria table with another friend and student, and she announced that gay and lesbian people were not welcome in her Christian church. The time at the table did not go well. More than anything, I was shocked and appalled and did not know what to do with it. The Christianity and church I loved, how could it be exclusionary? And so I started to preach that day at that table in the cafeteria, and almost 30 years later, I am still preaching on it. I'm still appalled. God of compassion. This is what Colby Martin has to say about it. So is Paul telling the church in Corinth and his compatriot Timothy that men who are born with same-sex attraction are unrighteous and destitute sinners? Or might he be saying something else altogether? Translation between two languages is tricky and nuanced business. It is rare to find an exact word-for-word translation that encompasses the full meaning and nuance of each respective language. Difficulties arise, for example, when trying to translate a word from a visual language to a technical one. When it comes to the Bible, there are even more layers of complications and anxiety because no one wants to mishandle sacred texts that we believe were inspired by God and then have been preserved and handed down for several millennia. All that is to say, I have a deep respect and high regard for the men and women who have labored over the centuries to translate the Bible into various language, and yet the words homosexual and homosexuality have zero business being in the Bible. So whatever we think about Paul's two Greek words, we need to be better disciplined than to use clinical terms that entered the English lexicon 150 years ago and that carry with them all sorts of cultural assumptions and baggage. In other words, most of us are not biblical scholars, translators of ancient language, or taking into account a cultural context that had practices that were wildly different than we do today. It is possible to be an open and affirming Christian while holding scriptural values. And so I'm not proposing that we eliminate scriptures that don't work for us, but rather that we interrogate the scripture. And more than anything, know that all of it was done in love and that we find a place here where all people, regardless of orientation, are invited and guided by Spirit and Scripture with grace and love. I'm advocating that we all, the passionate allies, the trans folks who feel unsafe, and the queer community that wants to be visible, we are here to be that courageous church in a very complicated and messy world. We've got this, church. We've got this. Amen.
Amen.